Welcome to That Film Stew. I'm Jason, and I've taken time out of catching Pokemon to be here.
And I'm Luke, and I have not been Pokemon going. Is that the
You just sound
term?
Like an old person when you say things about Pokemon. This is that movie show, and we are going to race through this episode so I can get back to swiping those Pokeballs.
The Pokemon can wait. We've got lots of news to get through.
Yeah, I've worked in a Pokemon Go story, just so you know.
Of course you have. At least it's not a Netflix plug. We'll get to that later.
Pokemon cartoons are on Netflix.
Oh, really? Legitimately didn't know that.
Yeah, they are. No, man.
So, trailer talk.
Okay, so not really many trailers that have come out recently of any interest to us, but there was a Star Wars Rogue One, Rogue One, a Star Wars story. They did a celebration reel, which was at some sort of...
Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
Is the name of
That's
the celebration.
Yeah, wasn't it... Was it... Like shown somewhere at some sort of
at the Star Wars celebration.
Oh, is that
is that like a thing? A convention?
Oh, wow!
And that's why we've got all this news.
No, we don't live in America, so we don't go to cool things like that. We whatever. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Sort of much of the same as what we had seen. A bit of behind the scenes stuff. A bit more stuff on the beach.
Full disclosure: I didn't watch it.
Really?
Did not do my homework,
dude.
What did I miss?
Oh, look, mate, you didn't miss much. However, there is a. One thing I think worth talking about is Felicity Jones at the end of the clip. She's looking at the camera. I'm assuming she's actually talking to characters. And she says, "May the Force be with us." And it is the sexiest thing I've ever seen in the world of nerd stuff.
Now, you
Star
sent
Wars.
Me that in a text message.
I did.
And I had no context.
That's probably why.
That makes sense.
I thought you had seen it. Like, you
nope.
posted it on Facebook. You
I
shared
did.
It with the world.
I'm a giver.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So our first segment...
Oh, let's just move on from that. Let's just do a round of superhero cast quiz. I know. I think I said last time that we weren't ever going to do this again because it just got too hard. But I found some new ones.
Okay, easy ones.
Here we go. The first one isn't, but this is potentially going to be a Hulk special.
Okay.
But the first one has no Hulk in it, so don't get freaked out. Two-Face, Deadshot, Thanos,
the Josh Brolin, Tommy Lee Jones, Ryan Reynolds.
No, Deadshot.
Oh, Deadshot.
Not
Will
Deadpool,
Smith.
Mate. Yeah.
Wow. They do sound similar. Say, who is it again?
So Two-Face, Deadshot, and Thanos.
Josh Brolin, Tommy Lee Jones, Men in Black 3.
Yeah, man. Oh, wow. You stalled there, but you got there. Okay, now here's...
Because I edit the podcast, people will not know how long I stalled for.
Is that going to be in the book? Anyway, here's the Hulk special here. We got a few bangers here.
Okay.
So... Bruce Banner, Hulk, The Rhino, Kick-Ass, Abigail Whistler from Blade.
Oh, you know, it just seems too hard, and I'm going to say I don't know without thinking about it.
This one's a bit more out there.
What's the answer?
The Illusionist.
Ah, okay.
So Edward Norton, Paul Giamatti, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and Jessica Biel.
Okay.
Okay.
I was too busy watching The Prestige.
This one, we've got Hawkeye, Bruce Banner, Hulk, Apocalypse, and Darren Cross, Yellow Jacket.
I know the actors, but I'm drawing a blank on the movie.
Okay, that is Bourne Legacy.
Oh.
Okay, I know we don't normally do a fourth one, but here's one for you.
Just because I've been doing so well so far.
Oh, that's it. Steve Trevor from the upcoming Wonder Woman movie. Bruce Banner, Hulk. I told you, Hulk special. Gamora. Scylla from TV's Heroes.
Thor. Star Trek.
Oh, come on, mate. I haven't even listed the
Star
bloody...
Star Trek.
Thor, Sentinel Prime, and Judge Dredd.
Oh, Star Trek.
Yes, okay, very good. Now, on that, let's get into let's get into our first new story, which is...
So you were really bigging up a segue.
Yeah.
Did it just happen?
It just happened.
Star Trek Beyond.
Boom.
We have news. Sulu will officially be the first gay character in the Star Trek franchise.
Okay, now, how do you feel about this? Now, George Takei...
He's an openly gamer.
Yeah, yeah. All good. Cool. Sulu, as far as we are aware, the character has not been.
Well, it's not been established if he's gay or straight, really.
That was a good point. Yeah. So he's never had a relationship or something in the show. I'm not as familiar, so I don't know.
And you've got to think it's a different timeline. We've only seen two movies. But what I will say.
The Kelvin got destroyed, so he'd Sulu turn gay.
I think the idea was. It was for
it was
George
it was
Takei.
For George Takei to
again. He's openly gay, and to make this character gay, But Takai has came out and said he would have much preferred if they introduced a new character who was gay.
And I think I stand by that as well. It's like, why change a character?
The reason why, and this is Simon Pegg coming out in the defense, I mean, he's one of the writers on the movie, also, as you know, plays Scotty, it's that if they introduced a new character who was gay, he would be the gay character.
Yeah, that's
Whereas
true.
With it being an established character, this is, he is a gay character, moving on.
That's it. I guess it's like, it's really hazy because you don't want to be like, that guy is like, why is he gay kind of thing. But I mean, the actor who played the character is like, why? Like, what's the point? Like, they did it to just prove a point for some reason? Or like,
as an audience member, as a Star Trek fan, a straight man, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
So
it's more just the motives behind it that I feel like there was something different to it. But we'll see. It probably won't even be a big deal.
I think you're going to get to see him in his home life. I heard something about him. So he's got a partner and a child. So maybe,
So subtle there. That's it. More news on Star Trek?
Chris Hemsworth has been confirmed for a fourth Star Trek film. We haven't even seen Beyond. Fourth movie confirmed. The details of how and why the Elder Kirk will be back have not yet been released.
I reckon he survived.
I reckon it's time travel. The fourth Star Trek movie, The Voyage Home, the Enterprise goes back in time. Maybe it's happening again.
Oh!
Into Darkness. They tried to keep it a secret, but spoiler, Khan is in that movie.
Mm. And then they like flip the ending sort of thing, which was nice.
I watched it again at the weekend, and to watch it for the second time, that scene was still painful to watch. Not a fan of the flip at all.
Oh, it's just...
It's so great, Kirk having that moment in Wrath of Khan. But outside of that scene, Into Darkness, I thought, was really fun.
I liked the flip. I think it was a fun spin to just be like, you know, really honing in there. We're doing whatever we want. We're changing stuff and whatever.
Well, it's the Kelvin timeline. They can do what they want.
That's it, Kelvin. All right, now Star Trek, let's...
Whoa,
sorry, man.
One more thing. It's been revealed that Anton Yelchin's Chekhov will not be recast in future movies.
So write him off or...
So Abrams, he's made the decision that there's no replacing him as an actor. He deserves better. And yeah, so that character, we're going to see him for the last time in Beyond.
Okay, so, all right. We'll just see what happens either at the end of Beyond or in the fourth movie, if they even address it. Maybe he just won't be there.
Yeah, I think they won't address it.
They won't even talk about it.
I think they'll address the actor. They'll, you know, dedicate the movie to him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But the character, yeah, we'll see him in the third movie. But he's at least not going to get recast. And personally, I like that.
That's a nice or right thing to do anyway. Jumping over Star Wars, the Han Solo Star Wars story. So it's official. We got Alden Ehrenreich introduced as the new Han Solo at the Star Wars Celebration, which I now know is a thing.
I said that's what it is. It's the Celebration.
Now, I think we've mentioned him before because, you know, it was...
We've talked about this.
It's pretty much happening. Soon.
I mean, I think he looks the part, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just feeling weird because he... Close to the age that Han Solo was when we first met Han Solo, who we've seen as Harrison Ford. So it's sort of like, why is there such a differ in us? And like, I just don't want a Han Solo movie. Let's just nail that in.
Well, you can just wait until the following year to watch the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah, and that's what I'll watch it.
But speaking of another Star Wars movie.
Damn them.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Are we liking that as a subtitle? Having a Star Wars story?
For the spin-off, yeah.
You think it's good?
Yeah. What else makes it different?
Well, listen to this. The movie, Rogue One, will not have the opening crawl. The idea is this film is supposed to be different than the saga films.
I get where they're coming from.
I do, but give me the crawl.
I think it's still a Star Wars staple thing. It's still part of the same thing.
It's iconic.
And like the cartoons, the video games and stuff, they all have the crawl. The book, not the books.
They've got loads of crawls.
Expanded Star Wars universe. If you turn the book sideways.
I want to read something before I watch my Star Wars movie.
It's a staple thing. I don't think it's necessary. Maybe different music or something.
No. Sacrilege.
Just for the...
Leave the music.
Or like the same, but like a different interpretation. Maybe a bit darker because, you know, potentially it could be a darker movie, hopefully.
They're taking the crawl. Don't take the music as well.
One or the other. I don't know. Okay, so Batman. The Batman, I should say. Ben Affleck's Batman movie is rumored to be set in Arkham Asylum. So we get something a little bit different there. So Affleck, who is working on the script with Geoff Johns, has said that his story would be an original one and that it would draw from a number of Batman comics rather than directly adapting one, which I reckon is the better move. But Arkham Asylum, A Serious House on Serious Earth by Grant Morrison, could potentially be one of the comics that's adapted. So if true, Affleck's film, I guess, would take place largely in Arkham.
And a good way of establishing his rogues gallery.
Yeah.
But then again, Suicide Squad is doing that already.
Yeah, like it's all there. When The Dark Knight Rises came out, I remember though before, obviously, the Heath Ledger stuff went down, they wanted to have the third movie, you know, have a lot to do with Arkham Asylum. Obviously, they chose not to go in that direction for obvious reasons, like of the Joker and stuff. So I think, yeah, to have a movie focused on Arkham would be something very different.
And the success of the games as well. It makes sense to have Arkham in the title of your Batman movie.
Thank you.
I mean, Batman sells anyway.
Nah, that's it.
You can't go wrong. The Flash. Kiersey Clemons from Dope is reportedly Rick Fumijawa's.
That was pretty
is
good, man.
Is that the director's name?
Yeah, sure.
His top pick to play Iris West, the tough-as-nails journalist and friend of Barry Allen, the alter ego of The Flash. Other names in the mix are singer Rita Ora and Lucy Boynton, who's currently starring in Sing Street.
I want to ask you what Sing Street is, just to see if you actually know.
It's a drama, a coming-of-age drama. There's some singing in a street, and that is your Flash news.
Love it. All right, there's a something called Flatliners.
I've seen that movie.
Do you? Have you?
Yeah, Adam. What was he called? Kiefer Sutherland. He was in that movie.
So Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, he joined Sony's remake, reboot of Flatliners, a 1990 sci-fi horror film that featured him in the leading role. So I guess you were right there. So Sutherland, I guess, will be back. He'll play a seasoned doctor in this new incarnation of Flatliners, leaving it unclear as to what extent his character will figure into the plot. It has yet to be specified if Flatliners, if the redo will be a straight remake or, you know, a soft reboot of the original, I guess.
So it's a wait and see, but Flatliners, it's happening again. Another movie that, well, it's a franchise, I guess. Kickboxer Retaliation.
Yeah, that I have not heard of.
Really?
No idea.
Oh, wow. No, this is like really popular.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Like, it's the role that, or the movie Van Damme is known for.
Whoa.
Speaking of, Jean-Claude Van Damme is set to return to the Kickboxer franchise in the upcoming film Kickboxer Retaliation, which is the sequel to Kickboxer Vengeance. Have you heard of Vengeance?
No.
Well, Vengeance hasn't even been released.
Wait, so is there just a Kickboxer movie?
They just keep making them, mate.
So how many are there?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the stats. There's been quite a few out to DVD. Van Damme hasn't been involved since the first one, as far as I'm aware. Yeah, so we're getting two.
Wow.
Can they not just wait and see if Vengeance is a good movie and people like it?
From this news, I was thinking Vengeance was the first movie that hadn't come out yet. So I was like, that's why I haven't heard of it.
If I'm not sold you on Vengeance, it also stars Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
All right.
Acting. So, Retaliation and Vengeance.
He's been in some good movies.
The Hangover?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
The Hangover 2?
Also a good movie.
Same movie.
Yeah.
Okay. The Expendables 4, Randy Couture? I don't know these people. He's revealed that both The Expendables 4 and The Expendables are live projects. So he said that I heard they had a script that they were adapting for 4 and that we were going to start shooting for 4 in the fall.
Are you trying to do an impression of this guy?
Because, nah, okay. I'm just trying to read what's in front of me, and it's
you're doing very well.
He then added that now I'm hearing it might be pushed back, and the Expendables might be back on the docket.
It's like I'm hearing this news live, straight from the man's mouth.
So Sylvester Stallone isn't, however, involved with the Expendables.
He's been pretty vocal about that.
Am I saying it in Expendables?
Yeah, that's right. Like Belle,
Expendables,
Beast and the Beast, Belle, yeah. Expendables.
It's about girls, though.
Yeah, it is. It's a female Expendables movie.
That actually sounds badass because the chicks will be badass. They'll be action woman, female movie stars. Like
Ghostbusters reboot fans are not going to be happy.
Oh. It's happening.
I mean, there's some crazy things happening in the world of cinema. Emoji movie.
Mm.
That's a thing. And when it was first...
I don't know how I feel about this. I might need to just post some emojis about
just check your expressions on your phone. Yeah, when this was first announced, it's like, how can this even be a movie? I've got no interest. I, in protest, stopped using emojis for about a week.
The poo emoji, that's what that's where I'm at here. Just the poo emoji.
But, and there is a but here. TJ Miller, yes, that TJ Miller, has signed on for a leading role in the animated film, full title being Emoji Movie Express Yourself. Miller will voice the role of Gene, who is described as a exuberant, optimistic emoji that was supposed to be a meh emoji.
Meh.
Just like his parents. However, he was born with a glitch that gives him multiple expressions that are out of control. That sounds fun to me.
Oh, does it?
This is a kid's... Listen, this is a kid's movie that I'll no doubt get dragged to watch.
I think I was going to say, I'm going to get drugged up to watch.
And this sounds entertaining. I didn't think there would be a story in an emoji movie. This is a story about acceptance.
What? This ain't Zootopia, man.
No, it's not Zootopia, but they've actually got a story there and they've got TJ Miller attached. Yeah, okay.
And it's weird, like, I thought Angry Birds would be, like, the worst thing to come out of, like, phone stuff.
Yeah, when...
This is crazy. But TJ Miller, like, is it wrong that I'm getting sort of, like, a Chris Pratt kind of, you know, success story here? Like, you know, he's the comedy guy, the funny guy, and then is he going to start making big movies? And
do you think he's going to bulk up and
stand out
in a Marvel Studios movie? Or maybe DC will poach him.
Well, he's been in Big Hero 6. That's pretty close.
That's true.
And that was voice work, so I mean...
But I don't get a Pratt vibe.
Nah,
but, that's fine.
No, but... Okay. I bet you don't get a Pratt vibe from old Pratt back in the day.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Have you seen him play guitar naked? I'll stop bringing that up. That's... Okay, I've got a Pokemon Go story.
Educate me. What is going on? Why...
And this is going to be a happening? Movie story. Just so let's do it.
All I'm right. seeing people in shopping centres, in the supermarket, just waving the phones around, chasing things. In my work, there is signs up, no Pokemon Go.
I guess that's the word. I'm the assistant manager.
No Pokemon
manager
Go
game
at my work. Whilst at work.
I'm the assistant manager at my work, so I can just play Pokemon all day. But like, I have to walk around and like, I can't go anywhere because I'm at work, so there's not really any point. Anyway, so Pokemon Go, if you don't know what it is, I reckon if you listen to this, you know what it is. Come on. It's a free-to-play, location-based, augmented reality mobile game developed by Niantic and the Pokemon Company, which is owned by Nintendo, whose stocks have gone up like crazy. Pokemon is back, man. It's crazy.
I did hear that the makers of this game no way anticipated how popular it was going to be.
Wait, if you can find the audio, I mentioned this story a while ago, which we don't normally talk about video games, but this one I mentioned, and you said it sounded ridiculous, and I even went, actually, yeah, saying it out loud, it sounds ridiculous, but who's laughing now? Not the Pokemon Company.
It still sounds ridiculous.
So the game allows players to capture, battle, train virtual creatures called Pokemon, blah, 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 blah. You go out, you have to actually walk. Look, here's where I stand on it. As a Pokemon game, it's like the worst Pokemon game ever. Everything that you know about Pokemon, like catching, training, battling, and all that, it's not in this game. They might bring it in later, but as far as it stands now, it's crap. But it's getting people outdoors. It's getting them socially interacting with other people, which is amazing.
And I did hear that the Pokemons, they've actually been placed at points of interest.
Yeah.
You know, areas of culture
you
in
cities.
You
can walk around your suburb and see statues and landmarks and stuff that you've probably walked past 100 times or driven past. And you never knew they were there. So, you know what? It's got some really good stuff to it. I've seen news reports and stuff talking about the dangers, you know, getting lured by like criminals and
people,
falling into lakes and
people
walking into
causing
walls.
Traffic, pulling up and getting out of the car on the freeway.
These people are idiots. Like, that's not the game's fault. And you know what? It's if you use your phone whilst you drive, like that's it doesn't matter if it's a Pokemon app or you're on Twitter or Facebook scrolling or whatever. Like you're gonna crash anyway. It's gonna happen
unless you're a really good driver.
So
don't text and drive, kids.
But the movie news is that, recently we've talked about the potential of a live-action Pokemon game, and there was sort of bidding over Pokemon rights, which studio would get it. That has escalated to something crazy. I don't have any details on where it's going, but this was just my way to get this story in here so I can talk about Pokemon. Yeah, Pokemon's big, so if they release the Pokemon movie next week, it would make like $1 billion. Like, it would. And you can't deny that.
It's huge right now. I saw a meme online, and it was a picture of Robin Williams from Jumanji, and then it's like Blink-182 have a new album. People are playing Pokemon. What year is this?
What year is it?
Perfect.
I mean, last year, what it was like, it was Terminator, Jurassic Park, Star Wars. Like, it's happening, man. The past just keeps coming back.
Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
What a time to be alive. Just like the other time. Okay, so, yeah, that's Pokemon Go. For the record, obviously, I've been playing it, but I'm about to give up. I see this lasting another 3 weeks and it's going to
die. Can I be honest? How do you even do it? Like, is it just an app on your phone?
Well, you download the app, which is the game. It syncs into, like, your GPS locator thing. So it sort of uses, like, a Google Map sort of thing. And it just tracks where you're going and all that. And things just pop up.
So if you didn't know, like I didn't know, now you do.
Yeah. Like I said, it's getting people outdoors. Like, you have to go out and walk. You get eggs and you've got to walk, like, 10 kilometers to hatch one. To get a rare Pokemon and stuff.
I've listened. Yeah, I've got no interest.
Dude, I'm probably going to stop playing in like 3 weeks. It's not a good Pokemon game. But, you know, the kids love it. It's good. Let's play a round of Name That Movie.
Yes.
Because you enjoy these.
I do. So, especially when I get them right.
So this is the one where we, you know, I describe a movie in a very ambiguous yet very accurate way. And yeah, just want to try and mislead you and hope for the best. So the first one. A man violates a court order by sneaking into his ex-wife's home to watch her children and sabotage her relationships.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Boom. Have you read this one before?
No.
No, you just know. You just know things.
I've seen that movie.
Well, wow. That's key to this game. Oh, that's the trick, is it?
Yep.
Two burglars attempt to murder an abandoned 8-year-old child.
Home Alone.
Whoa, you're on a roll.
Well, I was going to say Home Alone until you said murder. And I thought, nah, child.
Two burglars. Home Alone, damn it. Okay, an adult male has a relationship with a high school student that is based on lies and stems from the school's drug problem.
Dirty Dancing?
No.
Footloose?
No.
Mannequin. I didn't think it was Mannequin.
What is Mannequin?
Oh, that's a movie about a guy that falls in love with a mannequin that becomes real at night.
Oh, I think I've seen
that. Not Mannequin?
Oh, let's go. Okay.
What's the answer?
21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some TV news. I'll let you start off.
Kevin Smith's talk show, Geeking Out, will premiere with a Comic-Con special on July 24th on AMC. Living in Australia, as we do, that means nothing to us. That's the
Can we get it on American Fox Network. Can we...
I don't know how it's going to work. But just hearing the news, I want to see if we can watch it somehow. I don't know. YouTube? Maybe?
Maybe we're just going to have to, like we always do, fly to America and watch stuff.
The show will feature hosts Smith and Greg Grunberg, who you would know from Heroes, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, leading the 30-minute episodes discussing topics about which they are geeking out.
Makes sense. That's the title.
Geeking out.
Yeah.
I like Smith's other show, Comic Book Men. Yeah, this sounds good.
I just seem like it's going to be sort of like a panel, is it? Or is it just him talking about stuff?
Well, it's a talk show, only it's
geek-centric. That's our kind of talk show. That's what we want.
Yeah.
No, man, Kevin Smith, you can't go wrong. Now, the new Star Trek TV series will be premiering in the US on CBS All Access.
But we did question, again, how will we watch this?
How? What are we going to do? Tickets are really expensive to fly with it. Netflix will be the exclusive premiere home of Star Trek in 188 countries. Oh, wow, I hope we're one. So excluding,
we are one.
188 countries excluding the US and Canada. Each episode of the new series will be available globally within 24 hours of its US premiere. So if you've got Netflix, we're sorted.
Well, we talk about Netflix a lot. We're covered. This news blew my mind. Like, it's perfect.
That's good.
Perfect. Arrow star John Barrowman has signed a deal with the CW that makes him a series regular across all of the network's superhero shows, including The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. He's following in the footsteps of Wentworth Miller, we talked about previously, Legends of Tomorrow. We did see him originally on The Flash, and he's also crossing over all the shows.
All right, now you'd be more familiar with how extensive he actually is in...
He's Malcolm Merlyn, so he's like the Dark Archer.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got Green Arrow, a Green Archer, the Dark Archer, black outfit.
Boom.
Well, yeah, more John Barrowman. All right.
All Alrighty, now in the Supergirl side of things, Ian Gomez from Cougar Town has been cast as DC Comics character Snapper Carr. Now, we've mentioned how much we love that name. This is obviously to do with the second season of Supergirl. So on Supergirl, Snapper Carr is a headstrong, sharp-witted newsman hired by Cat Grant, who we know is played by Calista Flockhart, to be the editor-in-chief of Catco magazine.
I previously talked about my excitement for the inclusion of Snapper Carr.
Snapper Carr!
We've heard there's potentially going to be some changes. So Supergirl originally was on CBS. It's moving to the CW. Supergirl filmed in New York. The CW are primarily based in Vancouver. I'm concerned that Calista Flockhart isn't going to make that move. And maybe we'll see her passing the torch in the first episode of the CW Supergirl. And then Snapper Carr will play that role.
You do know, in my head, for some reason, I picture this Snapper Carr character as like sort of like a street shark. Like, they've just got a really big fish head.
Okay.
I don't know why every time I'm thinking like supervillain.
Well, I realized after we recorded last time, I kept mentioning how he snaps his fingers. That's painful. He clicks his fingers. Oh, his name's Snapper Carr. Like,
I'll just snap my finger off.
Yeah, I thought afterwards, I didn't.
Better clarify.
I didn't say that right.
All right, so also cast Floriana Lima from The Family as a series regular role inspired by the gay DC Comics character Maggie Sawyer. So Maggie was revealed to be a lesbian in the Superman titles, making her one of the first openly homosexual characters in mainstream comics. She later went on to become romantically involved with another famous female superhero, Batwoman, in addition appearing in several Batman titles.
Once again, the DC shows on the CW doing it right. Awesome. Gotham.
Fox.
Benedict Samuel, you would know from The Walking Dead. Alpha Wolf, was his character, has joined the cast of season 3 as the Mad Hatter. So they just keep bringing out the big Batman villains.
Like they hinted at Mad Hatter in season 2 or whatever we were at. Yeah, it would have been 2.
Well, this version of Jarvis Tetch will be a talented hypnotist teetering on the edge of madness. He arrives in Gotham with an unwavering desire to find his sister, Alice, a young woman who went missing in the city years ago. It is anyone's guess just how far down the rabbit hole he's willing to go in order to find her. In the comics, the Mad Hatter is a scientist that uses his own mind control technology to control the minds of his victims. Though based on a children's book character, the character is sometimes portrayed as being severely mentally ill, with an underlying darkness in him.
Now, in season 2, you had Hugo Strange. He was like, I guess, like imprinting like sort of these fictional characters onto, you know, like patients and stuff and making them these characters. He's the one that has like the Mad Hatter sort of Easter egg that that they had. I'm assuming that's what they're going to do with this character and imprint it, but it sounds like they're doing something different, which is odd because they've already sort of hinted at Hugo Strange with the Mad Hatter.
Okay, but
stuff.
I'd like if Mad Hatter was his own thing. So we had Hugo Strange, the big bad of season 2.
Yeah, it's like we've moved on from that.
Yeah, so we got to see a lot of like known villains because of him, but I don't want him to be the cause of the Batman.
Otherwise, this becomes like the Oscorp of like Gotham. Everything comes out of Oscorp. Yeah.
The Mad Hatter coming to Gotham and just watching season 1, I didn't think we'd be getting here.
Like, how bizarre. Like, I think we always mention the how different, you know, the second half of season 2, or maybe the whole second season.
Just well, the first season was about gangsters, and then the second season was about the supervillains, which was a good move, I think.
Man, I can't believe it's not cancelled, to be honest. I'm still watching, but alrighty. Still at Fox, but with X-Men, Marvel Television are teaming up with Fox for a new untitled X-Men TV project, and Burn Notice creator Matt Nix is on board to write the script. So he says the untitled series will focus on two ordinary parents who discover their children possess mutant powers. Forced to go on the run from a hostile government, the family joins up with an underground network of mutants and must fight to survive. Fox had previously optioned a Hellfire series from 20th Century Fox and Marvel, but that project has reportedly been terminated.
Yep, it's gone. Ooh. So we're going to get another X-Men series, not about X-Men. So we're going to get mutants. Maybe we'll recognize a couple of names from the comics, some obscure characters. Mm. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what they're going to call this one. I doubt it's going to be X-Men. We're already getting Legion as its own
thing. Yeah, so that's still gone. But yeah, X-Men TV, young people.
The Warriors.
Mm.
Remember the movie?
I do.
Captain America Civil War directors Anthony and Joe Russo are producing a reimagining of Walter Hill's classic cult film, The Warriors, as a TV series. The new take on the film will honour the original while adding its own unique brand of grit, pulp, sex and violence.
Yeah, you said sex.
Feature film... Yes, I did. Feature film remakes of The Warriors have been attempted in the past with Tony Scott, you would know from Top Gun, True Romance, originally lined up to direct, and another version by Mark Neveldine from Crank and Gamer. Neither version was ever filmed.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, like they've... A few attempts have been made, nothing's ever come of it. So, I don't know, what TV series?
I really like the movie.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested beyond that movie.
Oh, right, okay. Would you? You'll check it out, though, won't you?
Maybe.
First episode and then see how you go. It could be amazing.
It could be.
It could be terrible.
And we did post about this on our Facebook page and we got quite a few responses. So there seems to be an audience.
Yeah.
For more Warriors.
Oh, it's definitely, I mean, Warriors definitely a cult status, yeah, for sure. Yeah, is that right? Yeah, I mean, definitely. So it's always, it'd be tricky, something as loved as something that got cult status, to make a show out of it. Cash in or, you know, just really trying to do something that they want to do.
I mean, it's the Russos, so let's just wait and see.
That's literally the thing that's really pushing us. Like, it's got to be good. Now, Community... Whoa, Dan Harmon says a Community movie will happen.
Awesome.
Six seasons and a movie. They've got to do it. They got to six season. Eventually, like they got there.
Thanks to Yahoo.
Joel McHale, who who played Jeff Winger, classic Winger, on the show has previously said that the first hurdle is getting Harmon to write the thing.
And Harmon's interested.
Yeah.
So
with
that one step closer.
I'd imagine, at least... The cast that season six left off with, I'm pretty sure they'd all be interested. Maybe even some of the cast that has
if
had
you're doing a movie, you need to bring everybody back.
I think
you
I heard once there was a potential plot for the movie would be go after Donald Glover's character. He's been captured by pirates on a sailing ship and they go out to find him and rescue him. That'd be great.
A movie would be the perfect end. As you said, you know, hashtag six seasons and a movie.
Yeah.
They're so close.
It has to be the way. The problem is, or the difficulty will be, with almost every lead actor from the show now engaged in other projects, everybody's busy, everyone's doing stuff, so I think it'll just come down to timing and, you know.
Well, you've got to think there's more chance of a movie than a TV show.
I'd think so. Like, they'd all just have to
less time on set.
Get together for a couple months or so, here and there. A couple of them can just be, you know, cameos or pop-ins.
Now, there's a show that I love. That is coming back. Nicholas Lyndhurst is to appear in a one-off Goodnight Sweetheart special. Lyndhurst played a accidental time traveller, Gary Sparrow, who ended up in Second World War London.
Whoa.
Have you seen the show?
No.
So Lyndhurst, known for Only Fools and Horses, Rodney Trotter, my favourite comedy TV series of all time. Yeah, so this is coming back for a one-off. In the new episode, written by its original creators, Lawrence Marks and Maurice Gran, he ends up somewhere he has never been before after he is catapulted back into the 21st century. This sounds very exciting.
It does actually sound
so
quite
Gary
cool.
Sparrow, he had a wife in the present and a girlfriend in the past, and there was an alleyway next to his shop, and he just walked down the alleyway, and he'd end up back in time.
Whoa. Okay, like cool. Show.
Good show. Coming back. One more time.
One more time. Okay, now we've got a whole bunch of recommends to do. Oh, not a whole bunch. We've got one each.
Stranger Things, another Netflix show.
I thought you might have been doing this one, so I didn't touch it.
Well, you've not watched it.
I watched one episode.
Oh.
I think that's enough to recommend it.
I've done the whole season.
Whoa.
Stranger Things stars Winona Ryder as Joyce Byers, who lives in a small Indiana town in 1983. When Joyce's 12-year-old son Will goes missing, she launches a terrifying investigation into the disappearance with local authorities. As they search for answers, they unravel a series of extraordinary mysteries involving secret government experiments, unnerving supernatural forces, and a very unusual little girl. This show is amazing. And I will say that I know there's Marvel shows on Netflix, but Stranger Things is the best Netflix show I have seen.
He hasn't seen Orange is the New Black, though, so...
It looks terrible. But Stranger Things, it is solid. It feels like Close Encounters of a Third Kind, E.T. You think of the Amblin movies from the 80s, Spielberg. Yeah. It has that vibe. There's 8 episodes in this season. There's no filler. There's no time for filler. Every episode is just solid.
And you said you finished it?
I got to the finale, which I watched last night, and it was bittersweet. It is a great end to the season, but it ends. Oh. And I just wanted it to keep going. Almost like a soap.
Oh,
just goes for years, decades. Stranger Things. Fantastic.
Well,
check it out.
I watched the first episode today and then you came over, so that was annoying.
Well, I apologize. It is solid. The score, the soundtrack is just fantastic. It feels of that time. Goonies, Stand By Me. This TV series, I cannot praise it enough. Check it out.
Well, I did.
I didn't mean to sound so forceful.
Do
it. Check it out if you like.
Do it all.
This is a great TV series.
Do it all. I'll kill you. What? I'm also going to recommend a TV show. This one's Dead of Summer, which actually you recommended to me.
And then is it on Netflix?
No, it is on Foxtel, though. Only 2 episodes so far on Foxtel. Okay. In Australia, anyway. 3 episodes, I think, have been released in America, so we're holding out for it. Created by Adam Horowitz, Edward Kitsis, and Ian Goldberg. If you're familiar with those names, 2 of them are writers from Lost, and they also did that Once Upon a Time show, which started really good and then went really crap. But they're pretty much bringing the same format back. You've got a story, then you've got flashbacks, which flesh out the characters. Cool. It's what they do. They can't come with anything different, but it's good so far. Set in 1989, think like Friday the 13th. You've got like a camp. You've got counselors and kids come and all that. Yeah, and then there's like some supernatural stuff going on, some old history. It stars Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost, and she had a small role in Once Upon a Time in one series. And Elizabeth Lail, who played Anna from Frozen, but in Once Upon a Time, if you know what I mean. A few other actors in there. Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter, so I'm pretty good. But so far, so good. I'm into it.
I enjoyed the pilot. And like you said, it's another series. We're both recommending series that are set in the 80s. Watched the pilot, and then I started watching Stranger Things.
It doesn't compare.
And I know that I'm going to continue. I'll start back up with Dead of Summer, because I did enjoy the pilot. But the quality isn't the same as Stranger Things.
Oh, it's so network television.
To do right by Dead of Summer, I'll finish, and I'd have finished Stranger Things, and now I'll go back and pick up and watch episode 2.
Oh, you haven't got to episode 2? Okay, cool.
But 2 good series.
All right, let's close out with a little bit of trivia, and just in the big spirit of all things go... Pokemon trivia.
Oh, woo! Okay.
Sorry, man. So this is to do with Pokemon, the first movie. So it's movie trivia. When the film was first conceived in 1997, it was actually planned to be the series finale of the Pokemon TV show. So that would have been good news for you. However, the phenomenal reception to the show resulted in minor changes of the movie so that it would hint that the series was not yet over. In addition, it was released in theaters as opposed to just playing on TV as a series finale. And I don't know if you've heard of like the infamous Porygon incident where like people got.
So I don't know what that is.
There's one Pokemon that had all this like flashing red and blue lights and stuff, and it gave people like seizures in like Japan and all that. Lots of kids went to hospital. It was a big thing.
That's awful.
Controversy.
Yeah.
I think because of the movie had similar sort of flashing lights and stuff like that, they opted to have it on the big screen as opposed to. That sounds horrible. That sounds worse as opposed to aired on television.
Did the Pokemon movie have Mew and Mewtwo?
It did have Mew and Mewtwo.
I saw that at the cinema.
You saw it at the cinema? Oh. With who and why?
It was my girlfriend at the time, and wow, that was not a good experience.
Oh. Pokemon fan, was she? Where is she now? She's a Pokemon master. That's what she's doing.
Left her in the UK. I don't know.
You really hate Pokemon, don't you?
Oh, I just... No, I don't
you
hate
just don't
it.
Know
I just...
It.
I don't... It's just not for me. I think, as you like to point out, I'm too old.
You just don't want to be the very best like no one ever was.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what I'm saying.
No.
That's it for this week, guys. Please go subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. And please leave us a review. It helps listeners like you find the podcast.
We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
We also have our website, www.thatfilmsyoupodcast.weebly.com.
See ya. Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.